what I would share with you this day, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning with a story that you've likely heard, or some version of it anyways. It's about a man walking along the rim of the Grand Canyon. He gets too close to the edge, loses his balance, and slips over the precipice. Now, you know, in some places, the Grand Canyon's more than a mile deep. And so just before falling thousands of feet, he grabs onto a scraggly little tree rooted in a crack in the cliff face. "Help me," he hollers. "Is there anybody up there? Help me. Save me." A voice answered, "This is the Lord. I can save you. Do you believe in me? Do you really want me to help you?"
"Oh, yes, Lord, I believe in you. Please help me."
"Okay," the Lord says, "I'll save you. Just let go."
"What?"
the man replies. "Just let go of that branch you're holding on to, and I'll save you. You have to trust me." The man pauses a moment and then shouts out, "Is there anybody else up there?" A story you've no doubt heard, but one that prompts the question, what is the measure of our faith during difficult times, during times of testing, the times of storms? I've heard some people say, if you have faith, life will be smooth sailing. If you only have faith, God will cure all your ills and guard you from every danger. If you have enough faith, if you only stay close to God, you'll never have any problems in life. In our scripture reading this morning from Matthew's gospel account, we discovered that that's not necessarily true. Last Sunday, we read the account, as I mentioned, the account of Jesus feeding the multitude. Crowds had gathered to hear him preach, to see him heal. And as the day wore on, in response to a concern by the disciples about the people's need for food, Jesus tells them, "You give the people something to eat." Their response was, "We don't have what it takes. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish are nowhere near enough to feed all these people. We can't possibly do what you've asked of us." Jesus said, "Give the food to me." They do. Jesus blesses it, hands it back to the disciples, telling them to pass it around. They do. Everyone eats their fill, and there are even 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, what do you imagine the disciples thought about all that? They were right there, present in the middle of a miracle. Maybe some in the crowd didn't realize what had happened, but the disciples were right there, front row seats all the way through it. They witnessed and even participated in that extraordinary feat. So what might they have been thinking? Did it change them? Did it strengthen their faith? Did it firm up their resolve? After feeding that throng, Jesus dismisses the crowd, sends them on their way. Then he tells the disciples, "Get in the boat and cross the lake. I'll join you later. But right now I need to be alone for a while to pray." That probably didn't seem too strange a request coming from Jesus. He often spent time alone in prayer and could always rejoin them later, either walking around the lake or arranging for another boat later in the night. So the disciples set sail. Within a few hours, however, the disciples find themselves out on the lake, caught up in the midst of a sudden storm. The waves are rolling, the wind is blowing, they're hard-pressed to make any headway. They eventually reach the point where they're in danger of being swamped. Now remember why they were out in the middle of the lake in the first place. Jesus told them, really, ordered them, commanded them, to take the boat and cross the lake. They were doing exactly what Jesus wanted them to do. Yet, as a consequence of their obedience, they soon found themselves caught in a great storm. Whether or not Jesus knew they were going to end up in that desperate situation is not really the point. The point is they were being obedient to his direction. And look where they ended up. So does that mean that being faithful and obedient to God's leading always means smooth sailing in life? Apparently not. Sometimes faithfully following Jesus leads us into courting trouble. Sometimes faithfully following Jesus lands us in the midst of a storm. Eventually, in the wee hours of the morning, just before first light, Jesus comes walking out to them, actually walking on the water. The disciples' initial reaction is one of fear. They're terrified. "It's a ghost," they cry. But then Jesus calls out to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." For whatever reason, reasons that aren't spelled out in Matthew's account, Peter responds, "If it's really you, Lord, command me to come out on the water to you." And Jesus answers simply, "Come. Come on, Peter." In some ways, it would be like the man in the opening story I told you, letting go of that root that he was hanging on to for dear life. At this point, do you think it might have crossed Peter's mind to shout, "Is there anyone else out there?" Again, we don't know what went through his mind, but Peter again did as Jesus bid him to do. He stepped out of the boat and began walking on the water toward Jesus. Impossible, you might say. Is it any more impossible than feeding a host of people? As Jesus had so plainly said, with God all things are possible. But then something happens to Peter. It's almost as if he woke up and realized where he was. It reminds me of those Roadrunner and Coyote cartoons, you know, where the coyote's in the midst of chasing the Roadrunner and suddenly runs off a cliff, yet continues to speed in a straight line, all the while suspended in midair, until reality sets in and gravity takes over. He finally realizes what a stupid thing he had just done, and down he goes. Well, there was Peter walking on the water toward Jesus. Everything seemed to be fine. But then Peter takes a look around himself, taking his eyes off Jesus. What he sees are mountainous waves and a driving wind, and there he is in the middle of it, out of the boat with no visible means of support. He becomes afraid and begins to sink. Now, you may remember elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus bestowed the name of Peter upon this disciple. The name Peter means rock in Greek. But ironically, instead of becoming a rock of faith, he's sinking like a rock. In desperation, he cries out, "Lord, save me." Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in a similar situation? I don't mean walking on water or trying to, but rather being in an overwhelming and impossible situation. Precarious, perhaps even dangerous, troubling, even frightening. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in such a predicament, literally out of options, faced with no other recourse than to raise a cry like Peter's, a cry raised literally from the depths of your being? It's the elemental cry of every human being when we're confronted with that which is greater than our strength, beyond our ability, outside our control. In the midst of our helplessness and powerlessness, we cry out, "Lord, save me." A helpless, hopeless, terrifying feeling. God, help me. Jesus reaches out, grabs hold of Peter, pulls him up, and helps him back into the boat. "Why did you doubt, Peter?" he asks. "Where is your faith? Didn't you believe me? Didn't you believe in me when I told you to let go?" Suddenly the wind dies down, the waves settle. The disciples are in awe and amazement. Falling to their knees, they declare, "Truly you are the Son of God." Friends, as I hear God speaking to us this morning through Scripture, what I hear our Lord saying to Peter and the disciples, and indeed to all of us, is this. Life is full of adventures and encounters and accidents and experiences that remind us over and over again, if our eyes are open to see it, that is, that God alone is God. As Presbyterians for whom the sovereignty of God is the bedrock of faith, that's something I know you've heard before. God alone is God. And we are totally dependent on the Lord as our source of life and hope and strength. And even when we're certain that God is leading us and we are acting according to God's will, we dare never think that therefore we can go it alone, relying solely upon our own resources and abilities. The disciples were only doing what Jesus had told them to do. And remembering that enables us to press onward without fear, even in the midst of the storms that do arise in our lives. Peter only did what the Lord asked him to do. But in so doing, he was actually doing the impossible by worldly standards. It was only as he took his eyes off Jesus and was distracted by the storm raging around him that he began to sink. Now, Jesus has told us, on the one hand, without me, you can do nothing. On the other hand, he has also said, with God, all things are possible. I think it's safe to assume that Peter never forgot that moment. There would still be other times in his life, times of doubt and testing, times during which he wasn't always successful, not always faithful. Is it so hard to imagine that in those times he might have recalled this day, the one about which we read, and in so doing cried out yet again, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." Trusting the Lord to be there, to reach out, give him the assistance that he needed. And in that remembrance and in that crying out to God, is it so hard to imagine that Peter would have been given the help and the strength he needed? With God, all things are possible. Yet the answer to those questions, my friends, for each of us, is a measure of the faith that is ours, the faith that trusts as we live in obedience to Christ's leading, that the strength to endure and triumph over the storms that arise in our lives, the challenges that confront us and are striving to live faithfully, that strength will be there to see us through. Life is full of perilous adventures and risky encounters, untimely accidents, unfortunate experiences, incidents and happenings that remind us over and over again and reinforce the reality that we are utterly and completely dependent upon God for our life, our hope, and our salvation. But ultimately, we also discover that when we cry out for help in times of need, there really isn't anyone else up there. And the only choice we have is to let go and let God work his perfect will in our lives. You know, as individuals and as a congregation of God's people, we're often faced with opportunities to let go and let God's will be done in our lives and in our midst. Every time we bring a little baby to the waters of baptism. Every time we gather at the table of the Lord. Every time we try to decide how to spend the money God has entrusted to us. Every time we face a new challenge, a new opportunity for ministry. Every time we gather at the funeral to mark the passing of one of God's faithful servants. In each and every one of those times, and in so many others, again and again, we face the temptation to doubt and falter and focus on the storms that rage us around, to our distraction, to face that temptation, or else to embrace the challenge of focusing instead on Jesus, the Lord of life. He is the master of the winds and the waves and of everything else that would destroy us, derail our plans, and deprive us of the abundant life God would have for us. We do know that Christ is calling us forth to be his people, and that God invites us to trust him, to let go and let God. To let go and let God have God's perfect will in each and all of our lives. And so we go from here, seeking to be God's faithful people, trusting and depending on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, always keeping our eyes focused on the one who is the source of our life and hope and salvation. May it be so in your life and mine, this day and every day. Amen.